I guess I love living in general. I love always having a purpose, like whether I'm at a food truck event or talking to people or traveling, like I'm always doing something. You know, even on my days off, I always say I'm gonna stay home and watch TV and I never end up doing it. I don't wanna miss out on anything. And I think that, you know, being a human, it's like the best thing. We have so much opportunity that people don't understand. And I really hope that people see that, and I hope to see the good in every situation, even if it sucks, and you exist. And some people just go day to day existing, and I just want to live life as much as I can, you know? So whether it be food truck, whether it be working out, whether it be meeting new people, whether it's travel, whether it's, you know, all the things that we touch base on, I really truly think to be human is to live.
What's up, folks? Welcome back to Bindleism, a philosophy to a self-sufficient lifestyle. This is Kyle from Boho Hobo, and in this week's episode, we're interviewing the creator of Blueberries and Lace, Olivia Orlando. Olivia is a Syracuse local with a drive to experience life to the fullest. At only 22 years old, Olivia has her very own food truck that she brings to events to sell teas, coffees, and desserts. She has a background in culinary school and also the restaurant business, where she was able to learn how to develop her craft in cooking as well as in her communication skills. She's a highly ambitious and open-minded individual, always ready to experience whatever the world has to offer. With her optimism and lighthearted nature, she will surely be able to spread positivity to all with her passion project of Blueberries and Lace. We are more than grateful to be able to have this conversation with her, and it's without further ado that we present our newest episode of Bindleism with Olivia Orlando.
So, my name is Liv. I obviously own Blueberries and Lace. It's a new food truck. This is my first season this year. It's desserts, coffee, and tea. So that's pretty much it for the food truck. I also work. I work at a restaurant called Dominic's. I'm sure many people know of it. But yeah.
So is this all Syracuse based?
All Syracuse, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this for?
Pretty much my whole life. My whole family's in the restaurant industry, so I was basically born into it. My dad owns a couple of restaurants. My grandpa's Dominic, so I started there a couple years ago. I went to culinary school in the Adirondacks. Loved it. Loved it. Wish I was still there.
That was for your undergrad?
That was for, associates in baking and pastry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, 2 years then?
2 years, yep. Yeah, so that was awesome. Wish I was still there. Loved it in the mountains. It was the best.
So you're, like, pretty nature-oriented?
Yeah, I'd say so. I love to hike. I loved just being up there in the woods and the mountains and the cold. But, yeah, it was really good. I learned a lot there. I had actually learned a lot before I went to culinary school. My aunt owns a bakery, and she had taught me a lot. So, and she's in Syracuse as well. She owns Biscotti's.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so.
So good.
All over the place.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, so I learned a lot there before I even went to culinary school. I went to BOCES when I was in high school. Also loved that. That was kind of a cool thing to get out of high school. You know, that was, I'm not sure if you're familiar with BOCES, obviously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I would go there for half the day.
I didn't know you could go for culinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all over the place. They have, like, culinary. They have, like, auto mechanics. Yeah. Construction. They have culinary, baking, and pastry. That's what I went for. I met a lot of my friends there, like, friends that I still have today. You know, more BOCES than high school. But, yeah, I learned there. I learned a lot there. And then went to culinary school after that. So that was great.
So growing up, you always knew that you wanted to get into the restaurant business?
I would say maybe, like, around 10th grade. 10th grade, I started working with my aunt. I started kind of just watching and getting into it. And then it was kind of, like, I started baking for people, like, taking orders on the side. And that gets stressful.
So before 10th grade, you never were in the restaurant industry at all?
I was around it, obviously. Like, I was around it since I was a baby. And, you know, when I was little, my parents were divorced, and every Sunday I'd go in with my dad to the restaurant, and I was, like, 6 years old, help him set up the bar and set up the kitchen, and, you know, that's just what you do when you're limited on, you know, babysitter, and you'd go be a restaurant kid. Hmm. So that was me.
So they were, like, constantly working, and you just kind of were strung along?
Yeah, definitely. When I was little, I mean, my parents had... My dad and my stepmom started the restaurant 15 years ago. They just celebrated their 15th.
And that was Dominic's, correct?
That's Limp Lizard.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your family literally, like, rules Syracuse restaurants. That's fucking insane.
So that's my dad. My dad and my stepmom, they own the three Limps. And
damn.
So Dominic's is my three aunts and my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're kind of all over the place.
Damn.
But... okay. Yeah, it's cool. I mean, so culinary school, like, it taught me a lot, 100%, but if I didn't go, I wouldn't be that bad off, I guess you could say.
Right, because you had the influence.
I had a lot of experience and, you know, just management.
And the resources. And, if you had any questions, you could just yo, Dad, what do I do?
And my dad definitely helped me. Like, through everything with the whole food truck. Every single step he was there, him and my stepdad, sorry, I'm just shutting everywhere. Him and my stepdad, like, basically did most of the build out. Like, I helped design, but they built everything, and they're the hands on, where I was more like, all right, this is gonna go there. That looks good there, you know? So
you were more like the interior designer at that time?
Yeah, and like everything. You know, my dad has a really good eye for stuff, and he knows. He's got the Limp truck, too. Mm-hmm. He built out the Limp truck, and that was really... His truck's really cool. I don't know if... Oh, you saw it at Hoptoberfest.
Oh, yeah.
They were there, too. So we like to try and do events together when we can, you know?
So just give people context. We actually met Liv at Hoptoberfest in Syracuse, New York. It was a local event that was like, with music,
like
art.
2 weeks ago,
it was probably, like... Three weeks ago.
Yeah.
But one thing that caught my eye with your food truck was the design of it. Like, on the outside, you have, like,
that's
the vinyl.
Cool.
And it has, like, a very good, like, it's just a very inviting vibe to it.
Yeah, I bought it as a camper. It's a 1967 Serio Scotty, which I loved it. I'll start over. When I was in culinary school, I had this chef who was very old school French, and every week he would sit down with us and just be like, what do you want to do? Where, in his French accent, of course. He's like, what do you want to do? Where are you at this week? What's on your mind? Where do you want to be in, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? So
he was your mentor then?
Yeah, I'd say he was one of them. I had a couple at school that really helped me, and I had a love-hate relationship with him, so... He had asked me 1 week, and I was like, I was thinking about maybe doing a food truck. And he goes, no. Like I said, he's very old school French. And he's like, no, you can't do that. No. And as a mentor, you're kind of like, oh, well, okay. You know, you listen to them. So
he was like limiting you just straight
up? Yeah, he kind of was like, he's like, you need to go work in a hotel. You need to go do your externship, you know, stay in a hotel. Because I'm a good decorator. Like, I'm good at doing cakes, which is definitely not my thing anymore. But I was really good at it in school. No one else was. And that was, like, where I was at. And he's like, you need to go work under these huge chefs and do all this stuff. And I'm like, all right. So I kind of pushed it to the back of my brain. I was like, maybe he's right.
The whole, like, owning your own business to the side?
Yeah, and a food truck. He's like, food trucks are a trend. And I'm like... Yeah, maybe he's right. And he's like, food trucks are going to be a thing for 5 years, and then they're going to be old, and you're never going to get anywhere with them. And I'm like, okay, maybe you're right. And I listened to him because
that's the hard part.
I'm a college kid. And
right, and you didn't have the experience at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's tough. Like, you go to a mentor, and they think they know it all because they do. They've lived it and have all the experience. And then they try to, like, guide you down this path that's just for their own benefit.
Yeah.
And not listen and understand where you're coming from.
And he was the kind of guy where he's, like, he worked in a hotel as he was a college professor. And he went, and he was a great, great teacher, great chef. And you know, he taught me a lot. And it was
So no knocking him. He's like...
No, he was good. Solid. Yeah, he was really good. And it kind of... It wasn't discouraging because it was just a thought in my brain. It wasn't like, I'm going to do this. You know, at the time, it was just kind of like maybe like a little dream I had. I hadn't gotten more into it because I didn't know what I wanted to do.
And that was in your first year of associates?
That was, yeah, my second semester of my first year. So he told me that, and I'm like, you know, you're right. Actually, no, I think that was my second year because, but the beginning, like very beginning of my second year, sorry. So I kind of pushed it to the back of my brain. I was going through school and looking for internships, externships, different hotels, different casinos, you know, stuff like that. So I graduated.
With what purpose?
Just to kind of learn, to go around, just learn under different chefs, you know, learn as much as I could. So I started, went to career fairs, stuff like that. I never really was, like, intrigued by anything, and I don't know. I loved it up in the Adirondacks, so I was thinking maybe I would just stay, you know, hike some more. But I ended up coming home once I graduated, and I started working at, I worked at Cafe at 407, and have you been there?
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely go there. It's the best. I actually worked there. I started working there the summer after 11th grade, and I worked there through, like, summers of college.
It's like coffee, teas. That.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically my food truck in a cafe. You know, so I learned a lot there. I loved it. I had a mentor there, and she's literally me in a 60-year-old body. Like, I just...
That's perfect.
She's one of those people that's, like, so good for your soul, you know? So, she was...
Do you want to do a shout-out?
Yeah, her name's Carol. She's so great. So great.
So, she's just an employee that works at 401?
She was the manager. Cafe at 407 for
our
people.
407.
Yeah, people that don't know, it's a non-for-profit cafe with, they have Ophelia's Place, which is a place for people with eating disorders. So all the proceeds go to Ophelia's Place, which is
cool.
A place to help people who, you know, need those resources. And it's a place where you could get that food that just makes you feel good about your body and nourishes your body. And that's kind of like where I had started with, you know, coffee and tea and desserts that just make you feel good, you know? So
as far as like the taste or like health
taste,
conscious,
health conscious and you know, not health conscious where
no,
people
okay.
can feel good about like having a cookie and not having to feel bad about it, you know? So
do
I
you
learned,
do like low calorie kind of recipes then?
Not really. It's more like explaining to people that if you want to have a cookie, it's okay.
Oh, moderation.
Right. Like not to feel bad about it or, you know, that was the whole eating disorder thing. And I'm not, you know, an expert on the whole eating disorder thing by any means. But, yeah, that was a really cool place. She doesn't actually work there anymore. But she still bakes. We still talk pretty often. And I love her. She's just such a good person. So, yeah, I learned a lot under her. And then I went back and I worked at Biscotti's. So I was working at Biscotti's for a little while. And this new chef came into town. His name was Yemen, and he was working at the Stoop. And when the Stoop had reopened, I'm not sure if you guys had seen that, but he was like, or he is a huge, also French, master chef for Apple. So he had like a huge, huge reputation. Then I was like, oh my God.
Like the iPhone Apple?
Yeah. Like he worked at their headquarters as their baker. Like,
oh, wow.
Pretty cool. So I was super pumped, and their manager had asked me to come interview with him, and I was like, of course I would. So I learned, and like, I went and I worked with him for a little while, but it just wasn't really, like, he was so, so smart. And everything he did was incredible. Like, the things that he would make and just would show me, it was like, wow, this is real, you know? Something that you'd see on TV.
What was your favorite recipe from him?
Oh, my God, his croissants were amazing, like, to die for. So, but it, I don't know, I just, like, I had this, like, a feeling that I didn't belong there, you know, and it wasn't him because he was, and I told him that he was amazing. Like, I loved learning under him, but I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there, you know, if you kind of understand what I mean. But,
Like, it wasn't fitting your
right, like,
vibe.
Yeah. Like, I just, something about it there I just wasn't comfortable, and I loved it there. Like, I loved their whole concept and the hanging out. Did you go when it was open at all? It's over on Fayette.
Okay.
But yeah, everything was really cool, but I felt like for me personally, it just wasn't, I wasn't meant to be there.
What was it called again?
The Stoop Kitchen. So I ended up leaving there, and I left on good terms with him, though. I wanted that connection to be able to talk to him or ask him questions if I still needed to, so I left on good terms with him. And then I went back to 407, kind of just baristaing because they didn't need a baker. So I learned more of the coffee side, which was really cool. And then a couple months went by, and I was like, this would be so cool if I did this in a food truck. You know, so this guy actually lived across the street. There's like an open lot across from my house. And he lived in a camper, and then he had another RV, which is really strange. I don't know why. I don't know, but he had an old Winnebago camper, and I'm like, oh my God, that would be so cool for a food truck for what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea like came back in my mind after I had already pushed it to the back, you know? So I went over and I talked to him, and he was telling me all about it. He got it custom made from this guy in California, and I went in, and it was really cool. And I'm like, so would you ever think about selling it? And he's like, yeah, you know, I would sell it. Maybe for like 15 grand. And I'm like, okay, so I'll let you know.
Right.
So that was that. I was like, obviously, I can't do that right now. I'm just out of college and paying student loans.
Broke-ass college. Yeah.
This is like, I think this was maybe 6 months out of college. So just about to start paying my student loans back, right. You know. So now the idea is back in my brain. And I'm like, I can do this. I can, you know, and I'm looking at eBay and Craigslist and anywhere you could find beat up trailers and campers and RVs and food trucks and, you know, any sort of UPS looking style truck. And then I came across this cute little 12 foot trailer, and I saw it, and I'm like, that's it right there. Like, it, I had a connection with it. I'm laying in my bed, like scrolling through Craigslist, and I saw it, and I sent it to my dad, and I ran downstairs and I'm like, this is it. And he's like, that's it right there. So, because I had went and looked at a couple that were, like, rotted into the ground, and, like, I didn't have a feeling about it, you know? So, but this one, like, as soon as I saw it, it was, like, a connection. It was, like, an instant relationship. Mm-hmm. You fall in love at first sight, you know? So, I bought it. We drove it home, parked it in the garage, and then the construction started the next, like, year and a half-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great. I mean, everything that I've done was nothing I had in my brain. Like, nothing how I wanted it to come out, but I love it. I love how everything came out, and I love, you know,
the
design.
Was it just you? Who was creating it, constructing it?
It was a lot of my dad and I, and then my stepdad, who's a tech teacher. He built, like, all the cabinetry and, you know, a lot of the electric and the piping and stuff like that he did, which was a great help to me because I know nothing about that stuff. So every day I would be like searching on Pinterest and like Google and, you know, looking at food trucks or looking at kitchen designs and looking at paint colors and countertop colors. And, you know, I had this idea of how it was going to look in my head to bring to weddings so it looked elegant, but yet it was still cute and it looks nothing how I thought it was going to. I brought it to this guy to get the tires done, and so it was in the guy's shop, and a guy who owns, like, the wrap company, he was like, oh, my God, I could make this look so cool. And I'm like, I don't know if I want it to look like that. And he's like, just let me do a proof of it on the computer, and I'll show you. And I'm like, all right. So he took a couple photos. He took my business card, and he matched it to my business card.
Ooh, perfect.
Because I already had my logo. My sister-in-law did my logo, which was great.
So is that totally different than what it is now, the logo?
No, it's exactly the same. She designed the whole thing, and he did it to match that.
So
it was really cool to see it, like, be on a business card to being on this, almost like a billboard, you know?
Right.
So that was awesome, and then I'm like, yeah, I have to do that. It's just going to look so different than any other food truck in Syracuse, and
And it does. It stands out.
Yeah, and it's cute and it's small. And if I got a quarter for every compliment and how many times people are like, oh my God, this is the cutest thing I've ever seen, I'd be rich. Like, so rich. No, but I love it. I love that people like it, and it's just been the best feeling ever. So actually, at an event I did last weekend, I did the regatta race in Liverpool, and one of my friends was helping me on the truck, and I was standing out in front of it, and I was on the phone talking to my dad, actually, and Yemen came up, the guy that I was working under from the stoop, and he's not working there anymore. He actually moved to Texas, and he came up, and I was talking to him. I'm like, oh, I wonder what he's doing here, and he's like, is this you? And I was like, yeah, this is my food truck. And he's like, I came to see this food truck. And I'm like, get out. And he's like, yeah, I heard about it. And
he didn't even know it was
you? He didn't know.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, this huge pastry chef that I worked under, who I looked at as like a, you know, a mentor or whatever you want to call it, came to see mine. And I was like, that's like one of the coolest feelings ever. Yeah. So that was really, really exciting. And he's actually going to do a food truck in Texas, like a dessert food truck. So he wanted to see just the layout, and he's going to do so, so well. So can't wait to go see his food truck. But
what is it about food trucks that draw you to it?
Like, what?
You could have done anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I like that it's not permanent. You know, I could be anywhere. I could take it up to the Adirondacks if there's a festival. I could, you know, I could move. I like that it's on wheels, that I could go do other things. If I want to go on a trip, I don't have to be open, you know? Right. So it's nice to have flexibility, and it literally doesn't cost me anything. You know, it's not like if I have a shop or I'm renting a space, I keep it in my garage. So
you
it's
just pay that down payment and
you're
good.
Like if I have I have to pay to get into events, and I have to pay for my supplies and product and ingredients and stuff, and that's it. And if I have someone working with me, which I'll have people working with me at, like, bigger events, like Hoptoberfest. I had someone work with me for a little while, but I can just send them home if it's, you know. And I like that it's easy. It's not like, my food truck's different because, you know, I don't have grills. I don't have, hoods. I don't have fryers that most of the other food trucks have. And it makes it so easy. I can pack up and go. Well, these other food trucks are like, you know, they need power. I mean, I need power, but not a lot. So
as far as operations go inside the truck, what are you doing in the day?
So coffee and tea is the only thing that I'm preparing. Like, that is it.
And that's how I wanted it to be. Before even going to the event?
So yeah, I'll brew most of my coffee, and I use Peak's coffee too. Shout out to them. Love them. I'll brew my coffee. So that's another thing that I had to really learn and get down this year, which I'm still tweaking, you know, how much coffee I'll need for an event, because you don't want to run out, obviously. Mm. You don't want to bring too much because then you waste. So
yeah, and then there's the business side of like trying to get so much.
Yeah.
The measurements.
So that was a big thing I had to learn this year. The tea, I do right on the truck. So I'll bring a big thing of hot water and just steep the tea, and I can do it hot or iced. And I have about 10 different kinds of teas right now.
So you do you put the tea bags in a whole pot and then
So I'll bring like a big jug of just boiling hot water.
Okay.
I'll bring that stays hot. Literally, I could keep it probably 3 days and it would stay hot. And I have,
this is probably for my own knowledge, but as far as business side of stuff, do you have to have a permit to sell water or like to do the brewing of tea?
No. I think the only people that had asked me about it was when I did the food truck competition at the fair, because you have to use their water, but I boiled it, so it was okay. So there's no, like...
But you do for coffee, though, correct?
To have a permit?
Do you have to have, like, a food handling permit for coffee?
Or
as opposed to
I
the water?
I have my mobile catering permit, and that kind of covers everything. So I don't really need, like, a separate permit for coffee or tea. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's easy and people love the tea. I use a tea company out of Long Island and they're great. They have 200 different flavors of teas, like loose leaf teas, and they're just amazing. I took a class in college that was called Six Glasses, and I learned a lot about coffee and tea, so that really intrigued me.
But there's a lot to tea. People, I don't think, realize.
Yeah, seriously.
So many different strains.
Oh, my God.
And ways of
it's
steeping.
It's so cool, though. It's like, I mean, it's relative to anything in a bar, you know, it's alcohol is so complex, and tea's the same way. I feel like coffee too. I mean, once you get into specialty coffees, it's like there's so many different things you can do, which I find really interesting.
Yeah, I find that they're like with mainstream society, I guess there's a little bit of like disconnect. Mm-hmm. I think from like mainstream to tea, it's not, as opposed to like coffee, people are more accustomed to it.
Right.
But yeah, with tea, it's like more of a niche kind of market.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I don't want to say hippie because there's a lot of people that drink tea that, you get what I'm saying, but hippies like, hippies love tea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love tea, but, you know, it's kind of all over the board for tea lovers, I feel like.
Whereas coffee, like anyone, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. But, so yeah, that's kind of where I am right now. And this year was my first year, like I said, and it's been just such a learning experience. Everything, I learned what not to do, I learned what to do, I learned how to set up, how to take down, I learned everything that you could learn, and I mean, I'm still learning, obviously, but...
So from the time you started the business to now, how long has it been? I think you said...
Like, but, since the very beginning? Since I first got it?
Blueberries and Lace, like when it was opened.
My first event was March 18th. It was still snowing. Yeah, this past year, so 2019.
Wow, so relatively new.
Yeah, 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 pretty new. So I'm friends with a lot of the people that are in the food trucks too. Mm-hmm. So Mike from Via Napoli, he's great. Shout out to him. He had got me that first event. It was at Liverpool High School, and he called me probably a month before. He's like, is your truck going to be ready? Because it was still, you know, still little things that I hadn't done. And I was like, it can be ready. Why? What's up? And he goes, oh, I have this event and they really want you to be there and they need a coffee tea person. And I'm like, all right, I'll be there. Like I needed to make sure it was going to be done. And that kind of pushed it to get done, which was nice because it was kind of just like a side project. You know, it was like after work, I'd do a few things. My dad would do a few things. So this was going to be, like, a huge, huge event, obviously, to be your first. And I think they needed, they had like, I think it was Superintendent's Day, I think. Can't remember. I feel like it was so long ago. But they told me that it was going to be, like, 500 to 600 teachers. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's a huge first event. But it really wasn't bad. I mean, I learned a lot in the first event. I learned to not go out when it's snowing because it's fucking cold in my camper.
No heat.
Oh, which is something I'm investing in next year. Heat and AC because it gets scalding in there too. It's like a metal box. So yeah, I mean it was good. It wasn't like a crazy event, but it was like a
good starter.
Yeah. I mean, just to kind of feel out the waters. I baked way too much. Way too much. But I think at every single event that I did this year, it'll help me gauge what to do next year.
That's
you
true.
Know, like in terms of quantity, in terms of everything, you know, how much to bring, how much I should not bring, you know, all those things that go into it. So
yeah, get it down to a science, a system.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I do. Like at an event, you know, if I have a double, I had 3 double events this year, so I had like a Saturday Sunday or it was a Friday Saturday, and that helped me gauge like how much I should bring for this day, how much I should bring for the next day, how much I should save for the first day versus the next day. So that was good. I had a couple school events. The school events crushed it. Like I went to CNS one day and I served the students, and that was one of my first couple events, and the line was literally like down the sidewalk.
Damn.
And I was like, my sister was working that one with me, and she's, like, she's a good worker. And I'm, like, oh, my God. I was, like, freaking out. I'm, like, trying to do tea, and my hands are shaking because there's, like, people down the sidewalk. And I'm, like, I don't know. And I'm, like, this is, like, I have it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm freaking out because it's easy. It's easy stuff, and I knew what I was doing. And it's just those, like, first, those nerves of first-time events.
Growing pains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, it's this year's been really good, and I couldn't have asked for like a better first season, you know. So
yeah, definitely.
That was good.
So prospective events, do you have anything planned in store for next year?
Yeah, yeah. I would really, really like to get into doing the markets, like the local markets in Syracuse, because I think
farmers.
Yeah, like the farmers market, the downtown market, maybe the Beeville market.
Syracuse markets
yeah.
opening up.
Yeah, I'm doing applications for that now, but I think those will be like a really good niche for people too. You know, people love the coffee and tea and stuff like that. And
yeah, definitely.
There's a lot of things that I still want to do, like in terms of selling outside things. Like I want to get in, this is going to be like kind of a surprise, but I want to get into selling more like jarred stuff and, you know, local stuff if I could.
Like honeys?
Like, well, not, yeah, like selling other people's honeys. I wouldn't make honey.
Okay.
Just stuff like that, like, I really would like to get into, too, and that was my intention when I first started doing it, but, like, growing into it, you know, so.
That fits the brand of it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I would like to have, like, you know, a shelf outside where people can grab, like, if I sold coffee or coffee beans or, you know, stuff like that, which would be really cool, so that's what I'm kind of playing with, you know.
So when you first started out this Blueberries and Lace, did you have a vision as far as what it's going to become? What type of people you would want attracted to it, or just like the overall environment that you're looking to create?
I knew that I wanted it to be like a market style kind of feel. I knew that I kind of wanted to get into doing like private events that would be more secure, you know, as opposed to going and setting up in front of, you know, a building and it could pour and I could not do any business. Right. So doing like private events, it's a little bit more guaranteed. But I actually really like doing the festivals and I like doing, you know, the music concerts. And I've done a couple of those. And
it's
those
free admission for you.
Those are really fun. And I meet a lot of people. So, and people love the coffee and they love the tea. And I think I was at Irish Fest. And Saturday night, the very end, I ran out of coffee. Like, I completely ran out. And I thought people were going to be like, oh, my God, why doesn't she have coffee? And I'm like, but I have hot tea. And people loved it. People that were like, I'm not a tea drinker, they tried it. And they were so into it. And I, like, that made me so happy.
And
that,
then you ran out of tea.
Yeah. People loved it, though. It was so cool. I thought people were going to be mad. And I'm like, you know, if I run out, that's kind of like a good thing. Right. You know, so. But, yeah, that was kind of cool to see that people were, like, willing. I think because the trailer, like, they wanted to get something, you know, so they wanted to just try tea. Even they weren't tea drinkers, and I was like, that's pretty cool, you know. A lot of people, at least, like, 15 people told me that, you know, at the end of Irish Fest, that they're, like, not tea drinkers, and they tried it, so.
You converted them.
I did, yeah.
So out of all the products that you sell, what would you say your favorite product is?
To eat?
Drink.
Oh, drink.
Or eat.
I really like the teas. I'm a big tea drinker.
What kind of tea?
I love black tea. I love the Earl Grey tea. London Fog, that's my shit. But I don't have an espresso machine yet, so that'll be a future investment.
Espresso with tea?
So a London Fog, it's a tea latte. So it's steamed milk and tea and hot water. It's the shit. Like, my favorite, if I go to a coffee shop, that's what I'm getting.
Nice.
But,
try it. London Fog.
So good. With vanilla syrup. Oh, the best. So, yeah, that's my future goal, is to get an espresso machine in there. That was kind of my intention from the beginning. They're just a bigger investment. So, and it's something that I was kind of playing with, because at a festival, people don't want to wait for stuff. And espresso is definitely, like, a product that you need to wait for. It's, you know, you wait couple minutes and it's ready. It's not like, you know, on the go where I can do coffee quick and I can get it out. I could do tea quick and, you know, all the desserts that I already have made, I could get those out, you know. So in terms of dessert, I make a lot of cookies. I sell a lot of cookies.
So all the desserts you make yourself?
Yep. That's what I learned how to do in school, and that's what I've been doing the past couple of years. So I started after the food truck competition. I did chocolate chip cookies for that. You could only make one thing and bring it. And people kept coming up and asking me, did these have blueberries in them? And I'm like, no, but that would make sense.
Yeah.
So I started doing a blueberry white chocolate chip cookie, and people love them. Like, I sell so many of them, and they're like, oh, my God, this is a combination that I never would have thought of.
Yeah,
and definitely. They're really, really, really good. So
I don't think I've ever had a chocolate chip or cookie with blueberries.
Yeah, like fresh blueberries. So good. So, yeah, I'm trying to find a farm that wants to give me blueberries for next year. So if there's any farms out there. But yeah, they're really, really good. I think I sold out of them at every single event. Also, blueberry scones. People love those too. True. Carol taught me how to make those. Shout out for she loved to make those, and I loved them when she used to make them at the cafe. So I started making those because I had to bring them with me, of course. Nice. So, but yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at this point. And try the blueberry white chocolate cookies because they're so good. But
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, would you say encapsulates all of what you've been doing with the brand so far?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I work with a lot of the other food trucks. They'll call me and be like, oh, we need a coffee tea person. I love working with other food trucks. I love the community that the food trucks have. There's mm-hmm. so many people that have been like, we need you at this event. And I'll call them if I can't do something and, you know, I need a pizza truck or I need a taco truck. And, you know, there's a lot of businesses that want multiple trucks. And
so you're almost like your event planning, organizing it too?
Kind of. I mean, it depends on the event. A lot of people call me. I went to like a car wash this past weekend and I set up for their grand opening. And then another food truck, Big Awesome Barbecue, came right after I was done and they set up. So that was kind of good that, you know, there wasn't too many trucks there. So it depends on the event. It depends on, you know, how many people there's going to be. It depends on the weather. It depends on everything to try and plan an event. True. So there's a lot of things that go into it that, like, not a normal restaurant you'd have to think about, you know. So, yeah, it's been good, though.
So comparing your lifestyle when you were working for a company mm-hmm. and now working for yourself, mm-hmm. can you describe, like, the difference and the reasons why you might like or dislike what you're doing now?
I'm still working for a company. I work for Dominic's full-time. Okay. So I bake for them, and that's cool because it's my family, so it helped me out a lot that they're able to give me, like, days off if I need to go for a food truck event or something like that, you know? So
yeah,
I still
true.
Do work for a company. Eventually, I'd like to do my food truck full-time during the season. I think it's easier. You know, I can make my own schedule. I can do all that stuff. I can kind of slack if I need to. I can pick it up if I need to. It's kind of, and it's just me. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
no, hold yourself accountable.
Yeah, it's not like anyone's relying on me, you know. So that's nice about owning your own business. But, I mean, there's things that you never have to think about if you're working for a company where, like, you know, permits and insurance mm-hmm. and stuff that I'm like, oh, my God, this is so annoying.
Taxes.
Taxes, like everything, you know, my computer system, stuff like that. Everything that has to go into it.
That's a good
learning
point,
how to
yeah.
drive a trailer. That's a huge thing that I was like, this is really
oh,
hard.
Fuck.
Yeah. I'm still getting the backing up thing down. It's really hard because my trailer's really small, so you can't see like around okay. it, so
that takes a lot of skill.
It does.
Because if you it do does. It wrong, you can just like snap the hitch.
Yeah, and you can like jackknife it, and mm-hmm. then that, oh,
that's
gives
a monster.
Me nightmares. So I'm really good at driving it straight, though.
Nice.
Yes. So I've been practicing all year on driving it straight, backing up, skidding there. I was at an event like a couple weeks ago, maybe like a month ago now, and I haven't had to really back it up yet. And if I did, like, my dad would always back it up, or he'd kind of show me how to back it up, and he'd do it. And I'm like, all right.
I think at Hoptoberfest, you told us that your dad
yeah.
had to drive it.
This is embarrassing, but it happens, because it's really hard to drive, or back up, at least. A couple weeks ago, this guy's like, all right, I'm going to pull in. Who has another food truck? He's like, I'm going to pull in, and you back up to me. And my dad wasn't there, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
No, you do it. You got this, man.
But I actually didn't even have to end up backing up because his window was on the opposite side of mine, so okay. I just had to drive around and, like, pull up. And I'm like, thank God. No, but I really need to hone down on that, but that's all right.
So as far as blueberries and lace, with the future vision of what's to come, what would you say your most ideal situation for it to be?
It would be cool if it was like 100% full time and I didn't need another job, but bills, student loans.
Hmm. Is that the one thing holding you back right now?
I mean, student loans are killer, you know, it's like paying a mortgage. I wouldn't say it's holding me back, but I like the security. Like, I like being financially secure.
Knowing that you can pay your monthly payments.
Right, yeah, not having to live paycheck to paycheck. It's also just such a grind to have a full-time job and then have to leave my job to go work again, you know, to go prep everything for an event for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But that's how I'm financially secure. So
that's
it
a
works
sacrifice
out.
You have to make.
But
that's the thing that people don't realize is, like, as an aside a little bit, is, like, when you own your own business, sometimes the CEO or the owner could be making less than the actual employees working there.
Yeah.
And they're doing way more work, and they're getting the shit end of the stick.
Right.
But, like, that's what comes with, like, being an entrepreneur.
And I know, like, you guys know, because you do the whole side hustle thing, and it's hard when you work all day and you're like, oh, I have to go work more, you know? So that's hard, but it's also, like, super rewarding to see something that I've built over the past, like, you know, 3 years since I bought the trailer, like, just how much it's grown and the clients that I've met and the people that I've met and the connections I've made like this, you know, I wouldn't have never known about something like this if I hadn't done it. So, and I love the connections. I love talking to people. I love learning about other people's businesses. That it just, it's so intriguing to me, and I never would have learned about it if I didn't start it. So that's something that's been really cool. But in terms of, like, the future goals, I'd like to travel a little bit more with it. I'd like to get into festivals and, you know, stuff more up north, or, you know, maybe, who knows, in different states. But that'd be really cool to travel a little bit more with it. I love to travel, so.
Yeah, definitely.
That's great.
I'm sure there's places up in Watertown.
Yeah, Watertown, Lake Placid, stuff like that. You know, Winter Carnival up in Lake Placid. That'd be so cool to go to. It'd be, it's going to be hard to travel because I prep everything here, you know. So I'd have to prep days in advance to bring up and kind of keep it, like, store it somewhere. So just all stuff that I'd have to figure out, but.
Yeah.
Who knows? I'll get there, you know? So, yeah. I think that's a good future.
Could you ever see yourself going across the country with it? Is it, is that sustainable?
I think so. I'd have to find kitchens to prep in, which I'm sure I could. I'm sure I could, you know, just do more research and, you know, then I'd have to bring all my equipment with me and make sure they have ovens. And so that would be kind of difficult just to travel with all my stuff. And but I'm sure it's doable. Who knows? I could just live in it, too.
Yeah, that's true. Have you ever, like, over the weekend, do you just sleep in there?
No, I don't think that'd be a health code
kind of thing.
That was one thing that I was super nervous about when I first started, like, getting my health permit. I was so scared that it was going to be, like, really difficult to get, and it actually was the easiest thing.
Oh, wow.
Like, they came, and they're like, this is the cleanest, cutest food truck we've ever seen, and it's so small. There's not much that can get dirty, you know, so that was... Every single event I did where the health permit or the health health department would come, I'd be like freaking out before they came, and they're like, "Oh, you're done." Okay. So that was easy.
Now, to get your permit initially, did you have to take, like, a written test or anything like that?
No, you just have to apply, and I think it's like a fee of maybe $100 or something like that. And it's yearly, so you have to do it every year.
And then at that point, you have, like, the certification?
Yep, and you have to keep that posted inside the truck, you know.
Right, okay.
You have to, like, if you're, so that's my Onondaga County permit. But if you're in a different county, like, I had to get one for the fair has their own because they're a state. So I had to get, like, a whole separate permit from them. But, like, if I go into Oswego or if I go into Madison County, I have to get separate permits for them. And they're just temporary, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because you have the one permanent permit, then that's why you can do temporaries with other places?
Right, yeah. So they just check and make sure that you have one already. And depending on where your commissary is, like, they'll give it to you based on that, so.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's like a... I mean, it's definitely good to have because who wants to be eating out of dirty food trucks? But I really like the past couple of years. I mean, the food truck community in Syracuse has gotten so good. I feel like we're up to like 50 trucks or something now.
Yeah.
So trucks that people don't even know about. And still, like, I'm still learning about some. I'm like, oh, that's cool. A brand new one. So I always like to see the new ones popping up, you know. So
I was doing some research into it a little while back. And they have a Syracuse website where they have a list of all the different food trucks on there. I didn't see yours, though. I don't.
Is it the Food Truck Association?
Probably.
Yeah.
Are you on it?
I wasn't on it this year. I kind of just wanted to, like, start off on my own two feet for just being myself. And I got a lot of events just being on myself. The Food Truck Association is great. There's actually two of them now. And I'll be part of them this year. I'm trying to get into both, so that hopefully that works out. But they're great if a company is to contact them and be like, we need a coffee tea truck, and they'll reach out to me. Or they'll put on their own events and, you know, people come and they get a lot of hits on social media. So that's good for each food truck to be on their website. And, you know, I had the other one is called the Alliance now. And I had the guy come out. I was at the zombie race and he came out and he's like, he took pictures of me and Limp. We were both there and he took pictures of the truck. He took pictures of, you know, our product. And he's like, hey, they're out here. Come check them out. So that, that stuff like that's really cool. Yeah, I really like that they do that. So, yeah.
So outside of blueberries and lace, do you have any other hobbies or interests that you like doing?
I like to hike. I love to travel. I work out a lot. I work out at Burn Kickboxing. Okay. Love it there. I'm like addicted to it.
You do the classes and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, I do that like 6 times a week.
Oh, damn.
So I do it a lot. I got really into it like this past year. I started like a year ago in August, so it's been a little over a year. And I just, I love, like I rave about it to people. It's so great. And that's hard to do, like to work out, you know, when you have, when you
everything
work and
everything else going on.
Yeah. But I really, like, I make time for it because I love it so much, so.
You don't have kids right now?
Or... Nope, no kids.
Relationship?
Too young. No. Nope. Single life, you know. Yeah. But it's good, though. I feel like I'm, like, right where I'm supposed to be. Like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm single for a reason. I feel like I'm doing what I want, and I feel like, you know, kids are down way in the future. So.
Something like this, you have to start early. You don't have to, but the earlier you start, the more progression you can get to the point of it being sustainable and maybe potentially like having a family.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like, I feel like that's like why I'm here right now, because I'm learning and I can grow into it more. And like eventually down the road when I have a family, it'll be easier. And who, I mean, I don't know because I don't have that right now, but you know, it's, I feel like, like I said, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm traveling, and I love it, and I get to see all my friends, and it's so great. And I just feel like I'm in a really good spot where it's, like, I'm loving life, you know? So, and I told you guys that I'm going on the trip in the end of December, so I'm, like, pumped about that. I can't wait. It's Thailand, Laos, and Cambodia. Oh, I'm just, like, so excited.
Is this the first of its kind where you've done something like this?
No, I actually did one... Last May, I did 12 countries in Europe, and that was, like, life-changing. So good. I mean, I always traveled a lot. My parents really liked to travel, which I was really fortunate that I got to experience that. My mom really likes to travel, so she kind of passed it down to me, and it's just, like, I don't know. That's another thing I'm, like, addicted to. So when I did a tour group with Contiki, and they organized the whole thing, you know, basically I paid for it and they put the whole schedule together. They found my flights and it was so easy. And I made friends from all over the world and I still talk to them. So it's like everything about it is so great. So I'm super pumped for this upcoming trip. 16 days I'll be there. So it's like 5 days in each country, which is like,
How long was the other one?
30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was 30 days. I was going to do it this time, but I have a job. And I was kind of in between jobs then when I did that one, so it was a little bit easier for me to take a month off to go travel. So, but I actually I was with someone, and he went with me on that trip, which was good. I mean, it wasn't bad, but I feel like this trip, like, I'll be single, so it'll be, like, you know.
Freer.
Yeah. And nothing against him, but... I don't know. I just feel like it'll be better. Hope he's not listening.
Not yet.
Oh, whatever.
So you said it was life-changing. That's pretty bold.
It was.
What about that was life-changing?
It's just like traveling in general. It changes your perspective. You know, you get out of Syracuse, and Syracuse is great, but you get out of Syracuse and everything's different. You know, the food is different, the people are different, the culture is different. You know, I remember walking through markets and people were screaming, like, about fish and about food. And it's just so, everything is fresh. And I love that, too. The food is so fresh. I was actually in Greece in July, and that was a family trip. But everything is so fresh. Like, literally, one of the servers brought a whole fish to our table and was like, do you guys want to eat this whole fish? And we're like, that's so cool. You know, so stuff like that. And I feel
and they
like
probably caught it out of the ocean. Like
they did. We were literally like right next to the ocean. And yeah, it was fresh that day, you know. So I love that that's about beautiful. Other countries. It is. And I wish we had more of that here. But that's Syracuse. So
catch out of the Onondaga Lake.
Yeah. Yikes. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like traveling, like every young person, I feel like should travel. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it changes your perspective and it changes, you know, you see how other people live and they live so simple. Like here it's, I mean, not that it's complex here, but it's like we have a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have very small houses. They have fresh food every single day. You know, they work and their, you know, their sleep schedule is different. Everything is just different. And it's so cool to see those. It's so cool to see how other people live their life. And I don't know. I think that's just life-changing, mm-hmm. honestly, which is
eye-opening.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like going to Thailand, it's going to be totally different than Europe, too. So this is going to be a huge trip. I've been to a lot of places in Europe and, like, the Caribbean and Mexico, but I haven't mm-hmm. been to Asia yet. So I'm pretty pumped for that.
Have you ever seen anything disheartening when you're on your travels? Things that kind of make you...
Yes. I went to Belize when I was 15, I think. I went with my mom. My mom's a teacher, so she does, and she teaches Spanish, so she used to do, like, the travel club at her school, and I would go on trips with her, which was mm-hmm. really cool. So I went to Belize, and we went to the school, and the school literally had, like, nothing. They had, like, a chalkboard, they had desks, and that was, like, it, you know? So it was, like... But they were so happy, you know, which is that also these people live, like I said, such simple lifestyles and they're so happy. Mm-hmm. And it makes you wonder, like, do I need all this stuff? Do I need all the stuff that I have? And I don't know, that is eye-opening to see that these little kids who have nothing, they have a chalkboard and they're still so happy. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't know, that's just really rewarding, I guess, to see. And it was great to, like, meet those little kids and... But Belize is really cool if you've never been.
What do you think made them so happy?
I don't know. I mean, just that they're living... They were little kids, so little kids are always happy. But I feel like in other countries, people that don't have as much as we have, they really value, like, their families, and they really value their passions. And sometimes we forget that because we have so much going on. And I feel like the U.S. is so busy... And mm-hmm. so fast-paced, and other places it's very slow and very relaxed, and, you know, family's the most important thing to them, and they really value that. So I think as long as they have that, that's what makes them happy, you know? So, don't know. Mm-hmm.
What would you say your values are?
Oh, boy. See, I have so many, because I'm so all over the place, but obviously...
You have to be, as
yeah,
an entrepreneur.
I know. My family is definitely a huge one to me. Obviously, like, I've gotten really into, you know, the past couple of years, self-care has been a huge thing mm-hmm. for everyone. I'm sure that's been, like, a big uprising thing. So that's...
Just in our culture, you're saying?
I think so. I mean, especially in, like, society, you know, self-care has, like, really changed. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's more important now. Not that it wasn't before. You get what I'm saying, but, like...
Why do you think that is, though?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like... I really don't know. I don't know why in the past couple of years... Like, it's all over social media mm-hmm. and, like...
Like, veganism, yeah, health conscious,
yeah,
working out.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
and I've you're gotten, in it. You're in the food
I've gotten industry. Really into it, yeah. And it's kind of changed my perspective on food. Like, just eating better things. And, you know, I really, really enjoy making sure that I'm eating the right stuff and making sure I'm always eating my vegetables and drinking a lot of water. But I feel like the self-care thing... It's been growing because of social media mm-hmm. and there's a lot of, influencers who are like, do this, you know, mm-hmm. work out.
They're super fit and you're yeah. like, I want to be like them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I listen to the podcasts about the people who are super motivating and, you know, people that want this great lifestyle. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like just in the past couple of years, I've really seen it elevate the whole self-care movement, I guess you'd call mm-hmm. it. But
interesting.
Yeah, so that's one of my values, I think, is really taking care of myself.
Mentally and physically.
Yeah, definitely. And I've done that. I mean, I totally changed my lifestyle. when I went to culinary school, it, like, I gained so much weight, and it was so unhealthy, and I could tell, you know? I mean, I lost, like, 40 pounds in the past year just because I changed what I was eating, and I changed not eating the desserts that I make, and, you know, so. But when I went to culinary school, it was really bad. Like, I just didn't care. I didn't care about, like, what I was putting in my body, and I didn't move, and, you know, now I really make it a priority to, if I don't go work out, I'll go for a walk, or, you know, I'll do something, or if I'm not working a 12-hour day, I'll, you know, go work out, you know, so, I don't know, I mean, that's a good value that I have. I think my business is one of my huge values, obviously, but I'm kind of, like, I don't know, I mean, traveling, definitely a value, I love it, but I'm pretty simple, not too much, I guess.
Minimalist.
Yeah, I try to be. But, so yeah. What are yours?
My values. Self-discovery. Yeah. And discovery of the world.
That's so cool.
Understanding different perspectives. I value that a lot. Mm-hmm. And just trying to find values in other people and how we're all equally valuable. Definitely. Valuable in different ways.
Mm-hmm. The self-sufficient lifestyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, like, authenticity and
understanding. So did you come up with this, or did you both?
We both kind of came to it, but I originally, like, came up with a name, and I think Andy was, like, a little hesitant at first, but then he ended up wanting to go forth with it.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if we mentioned Andy Padula. He's sick right now.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, wasn't able to come today.
That's okay, next time.
Yeah, didn't want his germs. But he'll be here next time.
Yeah, next time.
I mean, right now you're living, like, fucking bomb-ass life, it sounds like.
I really, honestly, like, when you say it, like, I definitely am. I definitely, like, I get to do what I want. I mean, I still live at home, which I'll probably do till I'm 40, but that's a joke. You know, I have a really, really awesome family. Like, really, I couldn't ask for a better family. My parents are divorced. They got divorced when I was really little. And the life that they have given me as a divorced family is unbelievable. Like, I've never met a family where, you know, my parents would still hang out if they're divorced. And I have, both my parents got remarried when I was little. And I love my step-parents. I love my step-siblings. I mean, they're basically my siblings because I've been with them forever. So,
you it's know, just an extended family.
At it this is, point. And we all, like, hang out. You know, like, we were
no
always,
bad blood.
I mean, you know, my parents would fight every now and then, but it was, like, over something about us, you know? So it was like, but, like, my mom and my stepdad and my stepbrothers, they'd always end up over at my dad's for Thanksgiving. Or, like, cool. You know, we were always into sports and we were always into band or food truck events or anything. Even, like, still to this day, all my parents are at all my events, and they like each other, and they talk, and, you know, there's no, and I can't thank them enough for that, you know, because I know so many kids that are like, my parents can't stand each other, they don't go in the same room, and I'm like, I can't imagine what that's like, you know, and I'm so lucky that I was able to have a childhood like that growing up. It just kind of shaped me into who I am, and that's been really great. I can't even explain it, and kids say to me, like, you're so lucky that your parents get along, and, like, I really am, so that's kind of helped me live a bomb-ass lifestyle.
A lot of this gratefulness, like, gratitude and just being thankful for what you already have.
I'm so unbelievably grateful, and my aunts, and, like, I'm really close with my aunts. They're all into the business side of things, and they've given me so much great advice, and I talk to my aunts about everything, like, I talk to them about boys, and I talk to them about everything, and they're like my bosses, you know, so it's really cool, and I ask them for advice, and, you know, it's just like, I couldn't have asked for a better family, like, really, and they're all super into, like, if you want to go travel, do it now, like, if you want to get into stuff, do it now, and, like, they understand, they're letting me take 2.5 weeks off to go to Asia, and, you know, some bosses would be like, no, you're going to stay here and work, and I'm really lucky that I have a family that lets me do that, and, like, parents that are encouraging, that are like, if you want to open a food truck, do it. Like, why not? Because it's too, life is too short to not do stuff you want to do, you know? So that's been really great, and I think, like, shout out to my parents for being great. They probably definitely won't watch this, but.
So, I mean, given that you're at this point in your life right now where you feel very at peace and just like most thankful, grateful. What do you say, like, going from that journey from growing up to where you are now? Did you have any hardships or setbacks or things that really crushed you? You don't have to, like, get too in-depth, but if you want.
I mean, everyone goes through things, and I know, like, I've learned a lot to not look past people because I know that everyone, I know that everyone goes through hardships, and I've gone through heartbreak, and I've gone through, you know, this isn't going to work, and I've gotten, like, I didn't think my food truck was going to work, psychic actually told me it wasn't gonna work.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, well, shit, that sucks. But I mean, I kept going, and even if it doesn't work out in the future, it's still like, I know I'm gonna be okay, you know. I know eventually, you know, time heals everything. And I've gone through, you know, college was such a learning experience from high school. And I remember my first day, like, it was an orientation kind of thing, and whoever was speaking, I don't even remember, maybe it was one of the professors or something, they said, this is the first day of your new life. Like, you are at a college where no one knows you. And this is, like, where you can be who you want to be. And I, like, I thought about it probably for the next 2 years. And I'm like, this is so cool that I get to just, like, start over. Because high school, I mean, I hated high school. It sucked. I went to CNS, so I went to a huge high school. Obviously, like, I had more friends when I went to BOCES. Like, I don't know, I feel like I didn't fit in high school. And then when I went to BOCES, it was cool because I made a lot of friends there that I still talk to today. And when I went to college, it's like I kind of found who I was. You know, I feel like a lot of people do that once they move out of their house and start to feel that, you know, I'm on my own kind of thing. And when I went to the Adirondacks, I loved it. It was like my place where I really connected. Like, I loved being in the mountains. I loved the people that were there. I loved, you know, everyone was such a tree hugger, and I loved that. And I loved the people who hiked, and I loved everything, you know? So I found a lot of myself there, and I think that was a really good growing up experience for me. So that was cool.
This theme keeps coming up, like, who you are. What would you say you are, who you are? Have you ever thought about that?
No.
Because you keep saying, like, I found who I am, but who are you?
I don't know. Who am I? I feel like I'm an old soul. Everyone tells me I'm always an old soul. I really like to think that I, like, accept everyone for who they are. And I don't know. That's a hard question. Like, who are you? You know, I could tell you all the things that I like, but who am I? That's a really hard question that I'm definitely going to be thinking about for, like, the next forever. But
it's crazy, like, you could live your whole life and not even know who you are,
right? I think when I went to school, I started having people call me Liv, and that was like,
what's your full name, by the way?
Olivia.
So Orlando. Okay.
yeah,
just so we get that.
Olivia there. Orlando. 22. I live in Brewerton.
Damn, you're young, too.
Yeah, I am young. Everyone thinks I, just because I do a lot, that I'm older. But I look really young, so they don't really know. I don't know. You stumped me on the question of who am I. I mean, there's so many things that goes into me, I feel like. Like, I'm all over the place. And I feel like I always, you know, I always did good in school, and I was always a good kid, and I never got in trouble. But, like, I'm not really the type of person to get into trouble. I'm, like, kind of just chill, you know. I'll sit and have a conversation with you for hours. Like, I could sit here and talk about anything for however long. But, yeah, I guess I describe myself as, like, an old soul and a person who loves to love and loves to have fun and loves to travel and, you know, just really chilling and going with the flow. And that's pretty much me, so I guess.
That's a good answer. There is no bad answer, really.
Yeah. Like, how do you answer? Who are you? I don't really know. But, yeah. Good cool. question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any more?
What impact do you want to have on the world?
Oh, God. That's a hard one, too. Wow, these are really hard. Impact? I really hope that I can motivate people into doing stuff at a young age, such as traveling or working out or The past couple months, like, in terms of working out, I've really been getting into it, and I've changed a lot. And I put up a post probably maybe a month ago now. And I don't post, like, photos of myself or, like, progression photos. But I did. I posted this photo. And this, really, in the past month, was life-changing for me. This was an amazing experience that I had. I posted a sequence of four photos on Instagram, and I put, like, this long, you can look at it later, but I put up a long message.
Description or whatever.
Yeah, description. With it, just saying how I found this gym in the past year, and I started going, and it made me want to change what I was eating, and it made me feel so great. And you can see the transformation through my photos of what it was before. And, you know, I was
kind of... What was the time period?
The time period was probably... I think the first photo I posted was maybe 2 years ago.
Okay.
So, not relatively too long, but I did a progression photo, and I said in my description, I said, I don't want this post to be about people to tell me how I look. I don't want it to be, like, compliments given towards me, because I don't like that kind of attention where people are saying, oh, my God, you look so good. Or
like the superficial kind
right,
of stuff.
Right, right. So I didn't want that. I didn't want it at all. That's not why I posted it. I posted it because I wanted people to see that anyone can do it. And I came to a point where I was like, I never, ever thought that working out was going to be, like, my thing. I never thought that I was going to enjoy it. I hated going to the gym. I hated, you know, keeping track of the food that I was eating, whether it was good for me or bad for me. I didn't like it. I really changed my perspective of how I could look at it. And, like, the DMs that I got from people being like, your post really motivated me to wanting to eat healthy or get in the gym or, you know, stuff like that. And I probably got, like, 200 comments on it. Mm-hmm. Just people saying, I really need to start doing and taking care better care of myself. And that's what I wanted. I wanted people to be like, I can do this, because I never thought I could. You know, so that was really, really.
And did they know obviously?
Yeah, I mean, like, friends, yeah, but it was like Facebook and Instagram that I posted it on. I did, like, the share thing. So, yeah, everyone who commented on it was like, oh, my God, you look so good. And you really motivated me to change my lifestyle, and I really hope that I did. Like, if I could have changed one person to be like, I want to be healthy, and I want to have a healthier lifestyle, and I want to go for a walk more, I want to drink more water. If I could have changed, like, one person's mind, like, and I did. I got so many messages about it, and I got so many questions, and I'm like, they're like, what diet do you do? And I'm like, I don't follow a diet. Like, I'm not, that's what I learned at Kefit 4-7. Like, I didn't want to follow a diet. I didn't want to track my macros or stuff like that. I wanted to eat healthy, but I still want to eat what I want, you know? So to, like, motivate someone to want to change their lifestyle like that was just, like, that made me feel so good, you know?
So what exactly did you do? Or, like, mindset-wise, so, like, yeah, how did you flip it to...
So it was, like, when I went to culinary school, I was eating everything I wanted. I wasn't working out. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't physically active, you know? It kind of... Like, I could feel myself just being unhealthy. And, like, the past year, like I had said, I really got into it. And I, you know, found a community in the gym that I love. I love the classes, and I love all my trainers, and I love the owner. And the owner from the gym actually saw it, and he did, like, a huge shout-out to me during one of the classes, which was really embarrassing. But, no, it was great. And I really, really hope that I could have changed one person's mind doing that whole post. That's what I wanted. That was my intention of why I posted it, to let people know that they can do it. And that's with anything. Like, I posted it, you know, whether it be fitness, whether it be business, whether it be, you know, wanting to travel, wanting to build a spaceship, whatever you want to do. Like, I hope that it could have changed someone's mind to be like, if I really put my mind to this, I can do it, you know? And, like, the business thing, like, I kind of have it. And I'm not saying that, like, as a cockiness, but I've had a lot of experience at such a young age where I'm like, I got this. I can make a connection with people, which a lot of people can't do. But, like, the fitness thing, I was never able to do it. I mean, I did sports and stuff in college or in high school, but I was never really, like, super into it. And once I got into kickboxing, I loved it, and it made me want to get into the regular gym, and it made me want to inspire people to also do this, to want to have, like, a healthy lifestyle, you know, so.
So the kickboxing was, like, a gateway into now regular exercise?
Yeah,
and weightlifting, it kind of, and cardio,
Kind of stuff. All that stuff, and, like, just even going for walks, or, like, going to want to play outside with my nephew, or stuff like that that I was just not really into before. And it's helped with the business thing, too. It's helped me be more motivated. It's helped me, like, you know, want to do more stuff. It's everything. I feel like if you have a healthy lifestyle, you'll want to do more.
What was the reason for you wanting to do kickboxing to begin with?
My cousin actually got me into it. She's like, oh, you should come try this workout. And, like, in the beginning, I was into it. I'd go maybe, like, 2 to 3 times a week. And then I actually went through a breakup. Always stems back to a breakup. And, you know, I was crushed. I was, like, just destroyed. And
didn't even, like, see it coming?
Yeah, kind of. It was kind of like a blindsided kind of thing. And that was kind of the time where I was like, all right, I'm going to start working out more just to have something to distract myself. And then I really got into it. And then I was going, like, 6 times a week. And then I could feel myself, like, getting stronger. And I could feel myself, like, you know, talking to more people and, you know, learning more about weights or learning more about cardio or following more fitness people on Instagram and, like, learning just different techniques and, you know, healthier recipes to make or healthier desserts to make, which is something I like to mess around with once in a while if I'm feeling ambitious and baking at home. But that was really interesting to kind of switched. And I'm so thankful that that breakup happened because it helped me, like, get me more into this, you know? Everything happens for a reason.
So you think it's, like, the progression of improvement, like, self-improvement that keeps you going?
Yeah, definitely. I love the progress. I love seeing results, and I love, you know, like I said, I love being able to help other people. I put a post up yesterday on Instagram. Yeah, yesterday was Monday. And I had said, it was just on my story, I said, I do doubles on Monday, so I go at the 6 a.m. class and I do the 4:30 master class at kickboxing. And I really, really did not want to get up yesterday. I really was like, oh, I'm just going to go back to bed, you know, but I went. And that's kind of like a discipline thing that I've learned, too, is when I don't want to go, like, I have to push myself to go.
That's when you need to go the most, right?
Yeah. And I always know when I don't want to go, the workouts are going to be the best, you know, so I had a really, really great workout yesterday. But not only did I have a great workout, I got to talk to one of the other members about her progress. And she's lost, I think, I don't know, like 70 pounds or something like that, she told me. And she told me that she's been doing, like, a bunch of different things. And she asked me about my progress. And, you know, it was just really, really great to have that connection with someone who is also in progression with their life and trying to get that healthy lifestyle. Whether it be losing, it's not even about losing weight. It's like being healthy, being active, being everything that could go around the healthy lifestyle, the mindset, you know. So that was really cool that I pushed myself to go and I got to talk to her. You know, I wouldn't have had that if I didn't go. So just stuff like that that really changed my mindset. And I don't know. I mean, that's changed my whole lifestyle, my whole perspective on everything up to this point, you know. So that's been really cool. You'll have to check out that post later. It's pretty good.
If you were to die tomorrow,
love these. What?
What would you do?
What would I do today?
Yeah. You only have like 3 hours.
I know. Like,
right, no. If it was like 9 a.m. in the morning, and you knew you were gonna die tomorrow, what would you do? How would you spend that last day?
I think I would go hug every single one of my relatives, my friends. I think I would thank them for everything that they've helped me with, everything that they've got me through, everything, you know, they've showed me. Just really make sure that they knew, you know, everything this past 22 years of life that I've been through with them. Give them all my money, the $4 that I have.
Your loans would be forgiven, though. It'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't know if they would. They're pretty high.
The only way to forgive your loans is if you die.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they would do that if you die. I thought, like, they'd make someone else pay. I thought that's what you have a cosigner for. So, like, if you can't pay them.
I'm pretty sure if you die, you don't have to pay your loans. Wow. No one has to.
Well, I hope we don't have to find out. But I think if I was planning on dying tomorrow. I mean, I wouldn't really have time to get on a plane and go somewhere cool. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably just hang with all my relatives and be like, peace out. It's been a really good life. I don't know. I mean, what would you do in your last, like, if you had one day?
Probably go to the gym.
Start the day going to the gym. I'd have one last workout. I'd have one last really, really good cup of coffee or tea. Maybe have my favorite meal. It'd be like your last supper.
The last supper.
I don't know. I mean, hug my dogs.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of hard to just have one day. I think maybe if it were like 6 months, I'd have a lot planned. But one day is like kind of tough. But I mean, you never know. It could be your last day, you know, so.
I think a lot of it boils down to just like hang out with the family.
Yeah. Maybe write them a couple letters, you know.
I think, like, when people are old and they're like, oh, what regrets do you have? They're always like, I wish I hung out with my family some more. And I think that's what it kind of always goes back to.
I don't really have any regrets. I mean, I think I have one where I was like, I wish I hiked more when I was in college, did the 46 Peaks. But I'm trying to do that now.
What are you up to?
I did some that weren't even part of it.
Oh.
And I'm really...
Fire Towers?
Yeah, like a couple of those ones. Have you guys done it?
I've done a couple,
Yeah, I'm really super trying, cool. Like, I'm trying to start a club for people to go do it. So if you guys want to join.
Definitely.
It's just hard to find time.
Anyone out there want to join?
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I'm really trying to start, because I did mountains that weren't even part of it, and I'm really mad. So, but I wish, like, that's the one thing that I regret. Like, I was up there for 2 years, and I didn't do the 46 Peaks. Like, what was I thinking? That's part of the lifestyle thing. Like, what was I doing? You know, I was sitting in my dorm doing nothing, and I could have been out there hiking 46 peaks, which is really annoying. I'm so stupid, but that's okay. You live in your land, and I still have time to do it, so I can't be mad about that. Other than that, though, I mean, not really any regrets. I started a business now. Like, not many people can say they started a business at 20, you know, so that was really cool. You know, I've dated the people that I wanted to date. I'm living a single life, so I've gotten both sides of it. I mean, there's so many things. I travel all over. I try to make that a priority that I get to do that, you know?
So I just want to, like, hit on that a little bit. Dated the people that you wanted to date. So, like, if you see if you, like, know you like someone, are you the type to just, like, go out and out of your way and ask them out?
That's a hard one. I feel like I'm in between. Like, I'll definitely get that burst of spontaneousness and be like, hey, you want to go out? And then other times I'm like, oh my god, no, don't talk to me. You know,
get
so
that nervous feeling.
I mean you're
a go-getter. Like, at the end of the day, like, if you want to do something, you will do it.
I try. I mean, yeah. It's hard, though. I mean, I feel like dating's like a whole other thing, you know. And I'm not sure if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever, be what you want. But, no, I love that people can do that. I love that, like, in 2019, people can be who they are, and I love that. And I like helping people. Like, I hook people up all the time, and I'm so glad that I do that, too, because that's, like...
Matchmaker.
Yes. I should... Like, I'm a love guru. Single life, though. No, it's cool. I like this time, and I like figuring out who I am, because I still don't know, apparently, from your question.
Have you always wondered
who I am?
Like, been, like, introspective?
No, I feel like I'm pretty, like, I, you know, I'm not insecure about myself. I've always known what I've wanted, and I've always known, like, what I haven't wanted, and, you know, sometimes I'm not, like, a psychic or anything, but I get vibes about things. Like, I'll know. I'll know if it's not good for me. Like, my job at the Stoop, I knew that wasn't good for me. Or someone that I was dating, I knew something was off. And that was actually pretty recent that I knew. That was, like, back in May, I think. I was dating this kid and not getting into this whole relationship thing because I don't like to dwell on it. But I was dating this kid that I met, and he was awesome, like this really, really awesome kid that we connected instantly. Like, we had our date, our first date we went on lasted all day. It was just so good, and it was, you know, I don't really want to talk about this, but I will anyway, because it was like too good to be true, you know. And he had just gotten out of a relationship too, and I understood that, and we dated for a couple months, and then I started to get, like, a vibe that I shouldn't be with him anymore, and that really hurt me. Like, I knew...
Like a fear kind of thing?
Kind of, like a gut feeling.
Or a suspicion.
You know, and you always, always have to trust your gut. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even a suspicion, because he was really great, and he was honest with me about every fucking thing that we talked about, and, you know, we vibed really well, and I was scared because I was like, this is too good to be true. This, like, this might be it. Like, this could be the guy that I really want to be with, and so that was really cool that I was able to see what I wanted in someone else. Mm-hmm. And I hope every single person can find someone who they see that with, you know, like someone
like a part of them, like their soulmate. Kind of thing.
And I'm one to, like, I think everyone does have a soulmate. But then I started to get this feeling, like a gut feeling, like I knew something was wrong and there was something wrong. And I, like, as soon as he told me about it, the feeling went away. And we're not dating anymore, obviously. But... So, not saying, like, I'm, like, a psychic or anything, but I have really good intuition when it comes to things that I should be in, places I should be, you know. I have this, like, really strong feeling that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You know, I know...
And you follow that all the time.
Yeah, I always try, because when I ignore my gut feeling, then I end up hurt, or then I end up, like, you should have listened to yourself, Liv, come on, you know better than you know.
That's the biggest regret.
Yeah, I mean...
And it's unexplainable. Like, it is. Intuition is something...
You can't explain it to people. And, like, I felt that whole... When I was with this kid, I felt that way for, like, a week. I thought I was going crazy. It was the most bizarre thing. And I've had
Can you talk about why? Like, what happened?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I hope he's not watching this, but... right. So, like I said, he was with a girl that he was with for a long time. And she ended up... dating a girl, and I don't like talking about other people's business, so that's a whole other subject. But, you know, he loved her for a long time, which I totally understood. Like, you will always love that person. You just won't have the feelings for them anymore. Mm-hmm. And he told me that, you know, he's not over it. And I can't be someone's, like, replacement. You know, so it was kind of a hard thing, because we vibed so well and I really liked him. But I knew that, like, we can't be together if, you know, he still has those feelings. And I don't know. I mean.
So it was your gut feeling that was telling you that, like, he wasn't giving
that he wasn't feeling it. Yeah. And he was super into it. Like, he liked me and I liked him. But the gut feeling was kind of like I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, I wasn't supposed to, and he wasn't either. So that was my gut feeling. And it just came. Like, I could feel it when a vibe started to change. But I get that when I do anything, if I'm in a job that I'm not supposed to be in anymore, and not like I'm, like, have superpowers or anything, but I feel like once people start getting that vibe that they don't belong, or, you know, something is missing, that's when you should listen to your gut. And I always, always tell people, I'm like, if you have a bad feeling about it, don't do it. And
intuition is actually one thing Andy and I talk about a lot. And we think that's the one thing that's connecting all of us in this network.
Right.
Of people that we're meeting and stuff.
And that's like when I talked to you guys, we talked for, you know, probably 15, 20 minutes. And it was great to talk to you guys. And I'm like, these are cool people. You know, like, these are the people that I like to hang out with, and people that are good for my soul. And, you know, my few friends that I have, my best friends. They're so positive. And my one friend, Steph, I talk to her. Shout out to Steph. I talk to her, like, every single day. And we always send each other messages, like, today is going to be a great day. And, you know, a lot of my friends do the same thing, where we're all just like, you have a great day. And I hope your positive vibes are skyrocketing today. And so I'm really lucky to have friends like that who keep me going. And they're like, you shouldn't be doing this, Liv. This isn't right. This isn't you. And... I don't know. I mean, I'm really lucky for that. So
were those friends that you had to seek out, or they just came?
No. One of my friends, I've been friends with, like, my best, these are, like, my best circle of friends. I've been friends with since we were born, practically. Like, our friends were, or our parents were friends when we were little. So we grew up together, and, yeah, she's awesome. I was just with her before I came here, actually. And a couple of my other friends, like, I've gotten through past relationships, and I thank God for those relationships, because I got the friends out of them. you know. So, yeah. True. It's cool, though.
Are you ever still friends with people that you broke up with?
Yeah, a couple of them. Actually, one of my first boyfriends that I dated from, like, 8th to 10th grade, which you think you're going to marry that person when you're in junior high, we still talk. And I was 14 when I started dating him. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool that we're still able to talk and, you know, we hang out and we talk about relationships and, you know, so that's pretty cool. Other ones, not so much. That's okay, though. Yeah, I feel like a couple of them, probably half. Mm-hmm. Half of them I still talk to, half of them I don't. So, it hasn't been that many, but.
I mean, most people I talk to that have past relationships, they're just like, they dead them.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I try not to do that. I mean, I try to be open to everyone. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd still like to, you know, I still care about you and I still care about your opinion and all that stuff. So that's important to me.
Yeah, that's good. Like, that level of respect,
yeah, you know? I always try to have that. And, you know, some people who even hurt me or, you know, did things that they don't think are wrong, I still try to respect, even though, like, I just try to be the bigger person, which I mm-hmm. feel like you should always do in any situation. And I feel like that's always something in any situation, whether it's relationship, friendship, business circle, I don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you should always try and just understand where they're coming from too. So that's something that I've changed my thought process on the past couple of years, that I need to understand where they're at too, you know, so.
Because mm-hmm. like people that hate on other people, they just might be hurting inside.
Exactly, yeah, and like you don't know that. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't know what they're thinking, how they're feeling, because you can never truly understand. I mean, you could see it, but you can't truly understand, you know, mm-hmm. so.
And I feel as we get older, just in my personal experience, I find more and more people that are hurting inside and that you get this sense of, like, just bad energy from.
Yeah, and you can tell instantly, like, when you walk into a room, like, you can feel their energy, mm-hmm. you know? I could do that pretty much with any
person. And sometimes
you'll
think it's yourself, you know? You'll question it.
And, like, sometimes people, other times, like, I'll walk into a room and they'll be, like, they'll look totally miserable and then they'll open up and be mm-hmm. like, wow, I didn't expect this from you, you know? So that's kind of cool. It kind of throws you for a loop.
Yeah, definitely.
But
even like this conversation right now, like I didn't prepare any of this, mm-hmm. but like you just...
It flows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always cool when you can do that, you know?
Yeah. Organic. But like there's like, I don't know what it is, but like the people that we have on to do for the podcast, mm-hmm. it just like always flows so well.
But
and
that's
I don't know
good,
what
though.
It is, but it does.
I mean, you guys have probably... I mean, you're up to, like, what, 40, 36,
you
36. Said? 36. But you've probably definitely learned, like, what to ask people, what not to ask people, you know, or you just ask them whatever the hell you want, and it just flows from there, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, the podcast thing's really cool. I've learned a lot about podcasts. I've learned a lot about people. Like, even listening to your guys' podcast, I love hearing, like, I think I just listened to Olivia Luciani.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I listened to her podcast. That was really cool. And then I listened to the guy. This was just like in the past week. I listened to a couple of them. The guy that owns Wildflower.
Oh, Michael Haggerty.
Yeah. I didn't even know like all the things that mm-hmm. he was doing. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. So it's like, that's how you learn. You know, I didn't know about him.
Perspective.
Yeah, definitely. So that's always really cool. And that's the same thing with the food truck. I get to learn so much about other people. Like, mm-hmm. you guys, this is so cool what you do. Like, this little space. This is like a rocket ship. It's so cool, you know? So, I don't know. I mean...
There's a lot of stuff happening in Syracuse that people aren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the power of media, like, getting the message
out
there.
Social media is like...
You can use it as a tool, or you can just let it crush you in mm-hmm. despair.
Yeah. No, that's funny. But, yeah, I mean, I hope Syracuse keeps growing the way it is, because I've been to other places mm-hmm. that, you know, last year I was just in Tampa, and I loved their whole vibe they had going on. My sister was living there, so I went to go visit her, and I loved... They had a market that I'm hoping is going to be mm-hmm. just like our new market that's opening up. It was so cool. It was called... Armature Works, and it was just like a bunch of different food vendors, and it was like a flower market, and it was just really organic, natural people, and you know, they had like a whole river walk that's kind of like our inner harbor now, and I hope that's like the direction that they're going in, you know, so I'm excited for that, and that's one reason why I've kind of hung around here, you know, just to see the progression. And excuse me, I love it. I love just watching it grow, you know. So, yeah, that's cool.
So, just, like, wrapping this up a little bit, if you want to give anyone, like, your Instagram handle, like, social media, any links to you.
If you want to follow my personal, definitely check it out. Like I said, I've been posting those, you know, just progression, like, self-care, help, motivation posts. It's LIIV_Orlando24. That's my personal. And then my food truck page is BL Food Truck. On Facebook, it's Blueberries and Lace, obviously, so.
And you also have a website, too.
Yeah, I do. The website's not as active as Facebook and Instagram, obviously. I post more on it. The website, I feel like no one ever goes on, so I don't really post that much there. But there's some info on it. It's kind of old. I started it, like, the very beginning before my trailer was even done. So definitely check out Facebook and Instagram. There's more updated info and events and, you know, cool stuff like that. So
perfect. And for our last and final question, ask
that's a good one.
Everyone this when they come onto the podcast. But right now we are interviewing you and your self-sufficient lifestyle, what you do as a human. So to bridge the gap, what would you say, what does it mean to be human to you?
To live. I love living in general. I love, you know, always having a purpose, like whether I'm at a food truck event or talking to people or traveling, like I'm always doing something, you know, even on my days off. I always say I'm going to stay home and watch TV and I never end up doing it. Like I don't want to miss out on anything. And I think that, you know, being a human, it's like the best thing. You know, you can't really, we have so much opportunity that people don't understand. And I really hope that people see that. And I hope to see the good in every situation, even if it sucks. And I don't know. I mean, that's a complex question. What does it mean to be human? Because you exist. And some people just go day to day existing. And I just want to live life as much as I can, you know. So whether it be food truck, whether it be working out, whether it be meeting new people, whether it's travel, whether it's, you know, all the things that we touch base on in this last hour, it's like I really truly think to be human is to live.
So there you have it. Thanks again for tuning in to Bindleism, a philosophy to self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to explore other episodes of Bindleism on our Spotify and Apple podcast. You can find more Boho Hobo stuff on Instagram and Twitter at @Boho_Hobo_, as well as on our Facebook page at Boho Hobo Lifestyle. It'd also be dope if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. Our YouTube channel has more episodes from Bindleism in video form, along with other random shenanigans that we're up to. We're constantly filming new experiences, so it's one way you guys can stay up to date with us in our journey. So yeah, I guess that's it for now. Until next time, peace.